everybody. My name is Amanda, one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm so glad that you've decided to worship with us today. Today, I'll be sharing part four in our message series, the last part in our series called New Day. After the resurrection, when Jesus was raised from the dead, God began a new thing. A new day was upon us. And the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about this new day, this new thing that God has been doing in the world. You can check out all the earlier parts of this message series here on our YouTube channel. For as long as I can remember, I have been a church person. Everything that our family's weekly rhythm revolved around was our church activities. I think for a period of time, I was at church for like 4 nights a week. And so for me, that meant that the church became the center of my life and my favorite place to be. But for my siblings, it was more like where dinner was going to be served that night, because that's where my mom would be volunteering. In a lot of ways, I feel like I've always known Jesus and I've always loved the church. And if that sounds like you, if you've maybe had an experience like that where church has always felt good to you and God has always been good to you, then maybe some stories about faith that are before and after stories with God, big change stories, these new day stories, they might be something that's hard for you to relate to, because God in your life always was. Does that make sense? It's hard for us sometimes to understand stories about how Jesus changes lives or makes lives new, because maybe in your life, Jesus always was. But sometimes you'll meet people who have drastic before and after encounters with God. They might include things like overcoming addiction or overcoming really dangerous or toxic behaviors or relationships. Whatever it is that is in this before and after, there's something that's visible about what God has done in this person's life that made them new. There was before they knew God, and then there was after they knew God. Maybe you have walked through a story like that, or somebody close to you has. Or maybe that doesn't feel like your story at all. And if that's true for you, if you've maybe always felt like God was with you and good, don't discount that. People pray for faith like that every day. Life change stories, life change testimonies, they strengthen all of our faith because they remind us that God can do big things. God can make real things new. God can heal us in big ways. Healing stories in Scripture can do the same thing for our faith. In those early days after the resurrection, the disciples, they were still in Jerusalem. Jesus told them to wait there for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And one day, Peter and John, two of the disciples, they were going to the temple. And they encountered a man who had never been able to walk. And God used John and Peter to demonstrate God's healing power. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, it says, it tells this story about how Peter and John, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, he was being carried in. People would lay him down daily at the gate of the temple, the one called Beautiful, so that he could ask for alms. That means charity, donations, people to share their money as they were entering the temple. When this man saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms, for something. And Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and they said, "Look at us." And so the man, he looked at Peter and John, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. This is, again, God's word in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Talk about a before and after encounter with God. Before this man met Peter and John, he couldn't walk and every day relied on the kindness of his community to bring him to a place where again he relied on the kindness and generosity of his community to share resources. Before, this man was reliant. And then after he encountered this power of God through Peter and John, he's jumping and leaping and praising God. And he enters into this temple that he used to sit outside of. It's in that moment between the before and the after that has everybody curious. What exactly happened here? What kind of power is this? Can God really do that? Can God really do that in my life? When we read the stories of healing in the Bible, we can be confronted with questions about healing in our own stories. See, healing is often used as a metaphor for salvation. And I think that tracks. All of us who've encountered and received the love of Jesus, we are experiencing healing. Whether that's in this powerful before and after saved by God kind of way, or in a more subtle, I've always felt at home at church kind of way. Jesus heals us through what happened on the cross, and Jesus is still healing us as we practice our faith in community. Last week we had 10 teenagers profess their faith and join our church in the confirmation class. And each one of them talked to me about how church community is different than other communities they're a part of. At church, you can be yourself. At church, no one judges you. At church, you have people who are gonna be there for you when you need them. Let me tell you, community like that has the power to heal and save teenagers. Since there is power in the name of Jesus, and he really does heal us, this healing salvation metaphor is usually how I read these stories. But what about the folks who are reading this story and they have a real prayer for real physical healing that isn't being answered or hasn't been answered yet? Or what's challenging me even more right now is the idea that the church, all of us Christians who've been reading and interpreting scripture, maybe we've been reading these healing stories in a way that's been harmful to disabled people. Like, are we reading these stories in a way that tells them there's something wrong or broken or unfaithful about people with disabilities that they would just be fixed or healed if they just believed? One of the things that got me thinking about this is I'm in a pastor group that meets once a month, and one of the pastors did a sermon series on disability during the season of Lent leading up to Easter and dealt with a lot of these healing stories in scripture. And she introduced me to a book called My Body Is Not a Prayer Request. And it broke open for me the ways that we might be reading and teaching these stories in ways that are not harmful, in ways that are not helpful and might be harmful for people who live in different kinds of bodies than me. And then a few weeks back, I invited one of our elementary school students, a third grader, to share our kids' message on a Sunday morning. And so we met together and we looked at the story together and we asked questions and we talked about what stood out to us and what God might be trying to teach us. And the story was this passage, Acts 3, where Peter and John heal this man. And then based on the Sunday school lesson guide that I gave this student, and then they did the kids' message, they ended up saying pretty loudly and pretty often the word crippled. It was right there in the lesson plan. It was in the kids' discussion questions. In my Bible, it's the chapter heading or section heading for this text. Peter heals a crippled beggar is what it says in my scripture. The next day after this kid had done a great job at her kids' message, the kids loved her leading them and they understood the story deeper because of her leadership. But I got an email the next morning from somebody who's done disability advocacy work for a lot of their career, pointing out that the words that we use matter. And that word, crippled, every time we use it, it sets back the disability work and advocacy that's been done. And of course, that makes sense. As soon as she pointed it out, I could see it all so clearly. And what's so interesting to me is that that Greek word that's translated as lame is often translated that way, lame, not crippled. One time it's translated as crippled, but different Bible translations will put that word crippled in there, even if it's just in the section heading. Like I had said, Peter heals a crippled beggar. The words we use matter, and the using of the wrong language, it can do harm, it can create setbacks, it can break trust between people and God's church. This is tough work to do, but it's something that the Spirit was leading me to talk about. And thankfully, this member was gracious enough to spend some time with me talking about it, and she'll be a part of my message on Sunday morning, helping us think about some better language that we can use and think more thoughtfully and theologically. That means about God and our inclusion work in the church and in our daily lives. I don't have a simple resolution for the tension that this scripture brought up for me. I don't have a quick fix for all the ways the church gets it wrong all the time and has caused harm on purpose and unintentionally. What I will say is that leaning into these challenging conversations is one of the ways that God makes us new. It is one of the ways that we experience that new day of God's kingdom here on earth and who God is continuing to heal us into. God is always refining who we are and how we are to understand God. We are Christians that are reformed and always reforming. The last thing I'll point out is that the healing that this man was allowed to experience allowed him to go from outside the temple, separated and cut off from God's worship, to inside the temple, fully able to participate in God's community in worship. And really, I think that's what God is inviting all of us to be a part of. God wants all people to be drawn into the community, fully accepted, beautiful and wholly created as they are, to experience and worship God. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for being with us in this moment of worship. We pray that you would speak to each of us as we need to hear you. God, those of us who are looking for healing in our lives, we pray that we would find it in you. Help us to continue to lean into hard conversations, to look for you in all corners of our life, and to discover the new day that you are inviting each of us into. We pray this in Jesus' name.